I didn't mean to make you guys wait 2 weeks to hear this lesson. I've gotten several emails with questions and things, and I kept having to say, let's just wait. It's all going to come in due time. But I'm glad everybody's able to make it here tonight. Tonight, we're going to be talking about putting away bitterness, wrath, anger, and malice. And it's just a continuation of the series that we've started on Wednesday nights. Unfortunately, I feel like I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage because I haven't been up here for most of the class. I've been teaching downstairs. So I apologize if my format's a little different. Hopefully, I just tried to pick questions and things that would hopefully invite discussion. And so, you know, if you have verses and things that aren't listed here, I'm all open for that too. But we'll try to use these questions to guide us tonight. So starting off, I just wanted to see if we could have somebody read the base verses for our text tonight. And so that's Ephesians 4, verse 26. Anybody do that for me?
Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath.
And Ephesians 4, verse 31. Someone?
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice.
Okay. And Colossians 3, verse 8.
But now be yourselves.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay. But now you must also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth.
Very good. Thank you so much. So obviously there are different character traits and things that will be discussed in later lessons. So tonight we are just going to talk about bitterness, wrath, and anger from verse 31 with all the malice at the end. And it does include, you know, clamor and evil speaking. I don't think that gets touched on in any of the other classes. But that's going to be, you know, the central focus tonight. So I went ahead and just did a little bit of background searching. These are all simple things that I kind of feel like we should be doing anytime we're looking at verses. So I went out to dictionary.com. I also used Vines in I think one instance here. But I just defined bitterness, or found definitions for bitterness, which is a figurative meaning in the objective sense of cruel or biting words. And then anger is a strong feeling of displeasure and belligerence aroused by a wrong. And then we have wrath, which is a strong, stern, or fierce anger, usually deeply resentful indignation. Hot anger is one way that I think Vines put it. And then malice is the desire to inflict injury, harm, or suffering on another, either because of a hostile impulse or out of deep-seated meanness, badness in quality, and the opposite of excellence. And so, just again, kind of looking through more information on these words in particular in my study, I found it interesting that, you know, anger was used the most throughout the Bible, and that was 228 times, wrath 198 times, and then the other two were significantly less. You see bitterness 21 times and malice 6 times. And that's from the New King James Version. And lastly, you know, I found that in Greek, there were two different, I guess, iterations of the word anger. So there's the more literal anger, which is orge in Greek, and I am not a Greek expert. The other is thumos, which is more literally translated as wrath. So that kind of gives you a little bit of background on some of the words and things that we're going to be covering tonight. With that, let's go ahead and just start looking at these questions. And question one, referring to Ephesians 4:31 and Colossians 3:8, it tells us to put away all bitterness, wrath, anger, and malice. So why is it important that the new man put these things away? Because that's, after all, what we're talking about tonight, is putting away these types of emotions and feelings. Does anybody want to throw out an answer? There's not really wrong answers per se, but I've got a couple things. Ron?
The most definitive answer comes right from the Bible. Hebrews 12, starting in 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by this many have become defiled. I'm sure you got that in there somewhere.
At some point, yeah, I did cover that. Anybody else?
What he was saying is that it's sinful.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to...
defile us. They're just the opposite of what God wants from us.
Okay. And we'll cover that a little bit more in one of the following questions, too.
What about sin, the being reason not? What about that? That means you can't...
That's kind of where we're going to go a little bit later, so we'll wait for the question following for that. I kind of thought I was funny, and I kind of looked at it almost like Star Wars. And, you know, bitterness, it can lead to wrath. So if you have the bitterness, it's kind of a natural progression to wrath. And then, of course, wrath can lead to a more long-lasting anger. And from there, malice, which, you know, ends up with a lot of other implications, as you saw in the definition. So kind of like the fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, hate leads to suffering. I thought that was a pretty good analogy overall for this class. I saw Sean's hand. Very good. Molly?
Well, we can't be the best Christians we can be when we hold on to these.
Absolutely. Yeah, I kind of found the whole passage, and I'm sure maybe you guys have already discussed this a little bit in some of the other classes, but just the opposite of Romans 6, you know, I guess there's probably a better word for that, but, you know, for Romans 6, you're talking about being dead to sin. And so this is kind of in these verses, in Ephesians and Colossians, it's kind of the opposite of that and how we can go in the right direction so that we aren't, are making sure that we are dead to sin. Any other comments before we move on? Okay. I'm going to try to keep moving along here tonight. I don't really know if my time management skills will be on par. But question 2, the Bible offers up wisdom in regards to anger and wrath. So let's list some of the some of your favorite verses and summarize the idea concept from that verse. And I offered up Proverbs verse 16:32, which is one of my favorites. Would somebody turn there and read that? Proverbs 16:32.
He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules with spirit than he who captures a city.
Thank you. Any thoughts on that verse? I like...
Your anger is hard to do. That's part of what he's saying, I think.
Absolutely. You know, for me, I think what stands out is you know, the focus that we should be putting on that. There's a lot of things in life that we get focused on. But I think, you know, this is pointing out that anger and managing that is a lot more important than even gaining a city. And I think there's a lot more, I guess, current implications to that. You know, none of us are really going to take a city per se. But Jared?
And you might be leading to this, and if so, I apologize. But one of the things that passage is suggesting to you is that it's not this natural lack of anger. It's about having all of the elements that could explode within us, this hot-headed, all of that's there, but we rule it. We conquer it in ourselves. And I think there's a big difference between just, you know, people that are naturally not angry versus somebody who overcomes it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you put that spin on it, even with this verse, I mean, how are you expected to rule a city if you can't rule your own anger? I mean, I guess maybe there have been examples in history, you know, leaders of the past and things are oftentimes known for having hot heads. But overall, you know, I think that's an important trait that we have to master, our anger, like you said. Go ahead, Ron.
Well, yeah, Genesis 4:7 is always sin waits at the door. But you were asking for a favorite verse. One of mine is Psalms 37:8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. That's that bitterness. It only causes harm.
Absolutely.
Love that verse.
Yep, I have that one listed as well. And again, my note was it's harmful to us and to others. So anybody else have verses they want to add? You know, I think we can just do a handful of them here. But
yeah,
Code Rob.
This place comes here, chapter 15, verse 1, that a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh words turns away anger.
Very good. I like that one, too. Go ahead.
Going along with the idea that Jared was talking about, in Ephesians 4:26, that says, be angry, but don't sin, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It's talking about how anger is an emotion. That's fine. It's acting out of anger. That is sin. And to remain in a state of feeling angry towards something or someone will lead you towards other sins. If you let that remain, hatred, bitterness, acting out even then.
Absolutely. Thank you. Any others? There are tons. Jim?
Proverbs 15:18. A tempered man stirs up strife, slow to anger pacifies contention.
Okay. Very good. I also had Ecclesiastes 7:9. Do not be quick to anger. This is foolish. So there's foolishness with being quick to anger. Go ahead, Rob.
Proverbs 14:17, very close to that. He who is quick-tempered acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. So your temper is what you really have to control.
Okay, very good. So I don't see too many other hands. Let's go to question 3. So based on, you know, these verses that we've kind of gone through, and any others you might, you know, be thinking of or you haven't offered forth, what are some of the themes or trends that you see for anger management? And I know this is kind of an interesting question. I worded it this way on purpose, you know, because honestly, you know, a lot of us worry about our anger. I know I do on a daily basis as a dad, as a husband, as an employee. You know, these are places where I really have to make sure I'm controlling my anger. So the Bible is literally, you know, guidance to us. What kind of themes do you guys see here, or did you pull out from these verses? Go ahead, Ron. I know you.
Another one of my favorite verses, Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. One of the ways I beat anger is I focus on the people I love and the projects I'm working on.
Okay.
Your passion.
Very good. Rod?
Our theme for the year, rejoice in the Lord always. If you're thinking about your blessings and all the good things that happened to you because you're a child of God, it helps you to balance things in life and not see some of these things as attacks or as huge problems or difficulties that we face.
Okay. Gary?
James 1:19. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath.
Absolutely. I think that's, I mean, that's a great, powerful verse. It's one I have as well. And when I think of that verse, I mean, to me, I think it's, you know, where we're placing our focus. And, you know, if you're slow to speak, quick to hear, you will be slow to anger. And so you're being more, I guess, God-centered, you know, because that's what God would have of us. Whereas if you're not doing those things, it's very self-centered and you're thinking about yourself, and it may have some immediate gratification, but overall, that's not what we're supposed to be doing as we put on the new man. Go ahead, Marcus.
Somebody said that earlier, you have the emotion, but you don't act on it, right?
very good. Absolutely. So that's something I had too, was patience. You know, it's required to manage anger. Go ahead, Rob.
When it comes to anger management, it's important for each of us to understand what triggers us to get angry. Mm. You know, different things that might trigger me won't trigger the next person. And if you understand what your flashpoints are, or what causes you to get upset, whether it's a pet peeve of yours or something somebody says about you or whatever, if you understand those points, you work on controlling your emotions at that point and understand where, because some people know what your points are. They just come at you, trying to get you riled. And it's a matter of understanding those things do, and you just have to practice your self-control in the situation.
Okay, very good. Patricia?
When you're quick to hear and slow speech, that gives you time to hear the person out, and you would usually get the reason why they did something, and it often makes you get back down because you see their point.
Absolutely. Ron?
Our depth of connection with God, I agree with Rod here, in 1 Timothy 2:8, I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere. So prayer is crucial to help lifting us. And there it is, lifting up holy hands without wrath and, most importantly, without doubting. Doubt, I think, is a root into bitterness.
Okay, absolutely. Any other comments on that? Jared?
One of the things that I was thinking about was in Proverbs 22, 24, 25, do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. And I was thinking about the angry people in my life and how I bring them into my life, either through social media, maybe it's through listening on the radio or television shows I choose to watch.
Absolutely.
But I find those things make me angry. And it's if I want to manage my anger, I need to manage my intake.
Yep. That's a good point. I mean, especially with how connected we are today. I mean, there's so many different avenues for this stuff to come in and take over our lives. And I know I'm not the only one here that is almost completely cut news out of my life. It's just not healthy for me to watch news at 5 o'clock at night. Take with that what you will. You know, there's probably some downsides, but, you know.
You'll get trumped.
All right, very good. So, you know, obviously, you know, with some of the other verses that we had read earlier and that I put down, I was constantly, you know, within Proverbs and the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes, even in Psalms, a lot of it is referencing just anger is foolish. And who wants to be foolish? That doesn't sound desirable to me. So I need to temper my anger just so I don't look and appear or feel foolish. Also, you know, I see a lot of self-control, which was kind of brought up as a theme. That's also important to take away here. All right, so I don't see too many other hands. I think we're doing okay on time. Let's go to question number 4. So in Ephesians 4:26, it implies that being angry is not a sin in and of itself. When might our anger be justified or good? Is that a justified?
No, that's when it becomes sin, is when you take a swipe at somebody.
Okay, I see what you're saying. All right. Yep.
I think one of the things to do is try to look at Jesus. Did he ever get angry with anybody?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sin.
We'll cover that in the next question, I believe. But.
Fine. They say anger is like a grieving process. It's healthy to be angry and then just grieving.
Okay, so she's offering up that maybe it's okay to be angry as you grieve. I think that can be true in many cases. Anybody else have any other instances, specific examples? You know, just there are a couple, I think. Rod?
Yeah, I remember an occasion when I got on an elevator and a lady was on there with a little child. And you know what little children are going to do on an elevator with all those buttons. And so the child reached up and touched one of the buttons. and the mom smacked the child up against the head, and it made me angry to see her act that way. I didn't say anything, but I felt like saying something.
Okay.
There are things, when we see sin, it makes me angry. What's going on, like you said, with the news, you hear about the abortion laws are terrible as it is. But some of the extremes now that are even make it so much, you know, you wonder how our whole society can't, with one single voice, condemn all of it. But it makes you angry that these things are a part of our society, part of our nation.
Okay. In all these cases that you've brought up, has anybody done wrong to you particularly? I mean, just from what you've described here, I'm trying to draw out a point, I guess.
No,
it wasn't focused at you. You were angry at your environment, things around you, things happening in the world. Sin, I think, is a very valid I guess point of anger. You can be angry at sin. We as Christians should probably be angry with sin, whether it's towards us or, you know, that we've done ourselves. I think that's a perfectly valid answer. I saw your hand. Ron?
Yeah, indignation is righteous anger. Mm-hmm. But Proverbs 8:13 says clearly, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate.
Okay. So, yeah, I think, you know, you kind of answered this already, and I brought up an aspect with Rod. What about somebody that does wrong you personally? Are we allowed to be angry? Are there, I guess, other implications to that? Gary?
Jesus talks about the idea, if we're going to give a sacrifice, and if we're angry with that person, we need to go straighten that out before we offer the sacrifice. For the sacrifice is no good. And I think, by inference, I think that what that's telling me is if I've got a problem, and I don't get that straight, we can't pray and be effective in our prayer.
Okay. So I think, you know, we've already talked about patience, but I think, you know, time has other implications on our anger as well. And so, you know, I noted, just based on reading through scripture and studying for this class, that generally speaking, you know, for the anger to be okay, it needs to come to a conclusion. You know, it means it can't build and fester and linger, because it just gets worse and morphs, may become sinful, even if you don't intend it to. So I put, you know, in my notes that time is certainly a factor here. You know, it should. The sun shouldn't go down on our wrath, as the verse we read earlier says. Ryan?
Just to kind of add to what others have said, I think anger coming from a place of, like you're seeing here, injustice, whether it's done to you, done to others, I think that's fine, that's a natural reaction. But I think the more common reason for anger is other things, like through jealousy, insecurity, things that are natural reactions to feelings that aren't necessarily appropriate or things to further promote. And so I think it's pretty easy to differentiate that, whether you're angry because you saw something unjust happening, or you're angry because because, you know, some personal feelings you feel about something.
Okay. And I think that kind of comes back to what Rob was saying earlier as well. I mean, we have to know where it's the root is, I guess, where it's stemming from in our hearts. You know, what our feelings are, because I mean, these are strong, you know, urges and passions and things that come up within us. I mean, I think most of us have at some point or another experienced pretty passionate anger, you know, hot anger, I guess, in some cases. I would argue, you know, in some cases, as long as you recognize that and correct yourself, you're probably not in sin at that point.
Somebody pushes your buttons.
I don't know if I have an answer for that exactly. Everybody's probably different too. Rob, you're going to...
That line, when an example of us being his parents... there will be a time when our children misbehave, they speak back, or they are misbehaving in such a way that angers us because that is wrong. Their behavior is absolutely wrong. But how we control that anger and what we do with that anger is up to us as parents to say, okay, I should be angry at that behavior. That is not acceptable. But what am I going to do to correct it and help them understand? So you have to give that, you have to have patience, that pause button, to make sure that what you're doing to funnel that anger in the right direction. In the same way that people that may say bad things about us, miss falsehoods against us, do we lash out with anger or do we speak quietly, peacefully, and prove them wrong in other ways?
Okay, absolutely. So I guess one thing I skipped from before, one of my themes, if you will, you're kind of dancing all around it here. Are those things easy? Is managing anger easy? I think it can be extremely hard, extremely difficult sometimes. And you've kind of been hitting the point all over the place. I mean, even with kids, do they know how to push our buttons? In many cases, yes, and that can be a struggle, even for me. I shouldn't say even for me. For me, definitely, you know, it's a struggle. I have four kids that know how to push my buttons, and so I have to be mindful of how I respond, how I act, and it's not always the right way, but I think if I'm aware of that, I have the ability to navigate that and change. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, our greatest anger should be with ourselves and our sin and that battle. Teddy Roosevelt said, if you kick the man in the rear that causes you the most trouble, you wouldn't sit for 2 months.
I like that. Very nice. All right, any other comments before we move on? Go ahead. Absolutely. You know, again, it's kind of one of the verses that I also skipped over was Romans 12, verse 19, up in question 2. You know, let God deal with, it's talking about letting God deal with the vengeance and wrath. That's not something for us. You know, it's best if we let our anger simmer and let, you know, God answer with vengeance and wrath as he sees fit. So let's go ahead and look at question 5 on the back. If you weren't aware, you could flip over. what can we learn from God's anger towards the Israelites throughout the Old Testament and Christ's display of anger in the temple, referencing Matthew 21, 12 through 13? Any comments? Go ahead, Rob.
There's consequences in God's anger, whether he wants to destroy the people or not allow them to go into the land and possess or get the blessing that he had promised them at that point. What we learn from God's anger is that there are consequences. We also know that what we've learned is that God can change his mind. Mm-hmm. And he can be compassionate, and that anger doesn't have to lead to destruction.
Okay. There's a lot of times in the Old Testament that God wants to destroy his people, right? Probably too many times. Go ahead, Rod.
This is a tricky topic.
Yeah.
There are many passages where God was ready to destroy the people. We've got to understand that there is a distinction between the capricious kind of feelings that men have and what causes that, as compared to God's righteous indignation and his right to judge, his right to inflict punishment. And it's hard for me to wrap my mind around all that. It really is.
Yeah.
A lot of people think there's such a distinction between the God of the Old Testament and what we read about God in the New Testament. But these things are not inconsistent with one another. The love of God and God hating sin and being ready to punish sin, they're not poles apart, I should say.
You know, I agree. I was very conflicted researching for this question. There's a lot of instances, I mean, I can't count them on two hands, where God is very close to destroying his people out of his anger, and it says wrath in many cases. So, you know, trying to figure out why, or, you know, some of those things is kind of tough. I guess, really, I kind of boil it down from what I was seeing amongst all the different circumstances, is it's almost always in response to sin directly. Things that his people were doing wrong that in many cases were direct provocations to God, building idols and worshiping other gods. I mean, these are things that it states many times that God is a very jealous God. And I think, you know, what I was seeing a pattern with is that it was almost always something that they did. And so the anger is justified. Obviously in many cases, you know, he was always turned away from destroying, his people. But I did find that interesting. How does Derek, do you have a comment on that before we move forward, or?
So I was kind of like two-part answer.
I guess, you know, what we should be, what should cause us to be angry.
Great. Thank you. We don't have a whole lot of time left. Does anybody want to comment on Christ's display of anger in the New Testament? Ron?
Well, you know, I see those guys and him going in there and doing that, and I really am drawn over to Romans 6:20. For when you were slaves of sin, the money changers, you were free in regard to righteousness. So he was teaching, return to the righteous way. This is a house of prayer. You should be righteously praying to God, not doing business in greed and selfishness.
Okay, go ahead.
But Christ was very angry at the way people were treating the people, where the hurts were. And then he got on a cross and died for those people. And so even though we don't have the authority to act in a position of judgment like Rob was saying, like what Rob Chandler is saying, what we can learn is that our anger, our emotions must be balanced with love and mercy. So what we can learn from God and Christ is how they react in their anger. And love is always there. Even though they must be righteous and they must say that sin is, they always have love.
Very good. Thank you. I think we've already talked mostly about question six, but I'll throw it out there just in case anybody has further comments on it. In Ephesians 4:26, why does Paul put a time limit on our wrath? Gary?
A question or an illustration maybe. Mm-hmm. Have you ever gotten a sticker in your hand and you just left it there? What happens to it? It gets infected, doesn't it?
Yep.
And if you don't get it out, it could cause other problems. And I think that's the same thing with anger, is if you let it fester, you will have other problems creep in.
Absolutely.
Well, in Ephesians 4:27, the next verse, I'll give them an opportunity or give them a foothold of giving them reason.
Absolutely. Perfect. Rod?
Yeah. Before we get out of this topic, unfortunately, in our heart, this is where we see what our true character is. And whether or not we outwardly get angry and people can see that we're angry or not, if there is within us a bitterness towards others, and this is part of the world, is jealousy that good things are happening to other people and they're not happening to me. Why did you get that break and I didn't? Why are you popular and I'm not? All of these things cause us not to have the kind of love or concern for others that God wants of us. And so there's kind of a flip side that's going to come as you go on to the next verse, is that there's a contrast. Don't allow yourself to become bitter inside towards others and full of anger towards them and always riled up about one thing or another, but instead there are these other things that need to be true of our attitudes and our actions towards others. And we're going to be talking about that as we go along.
Sure. Very good. Rob?
You know, time can work both ways, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. So sometimes we'll hear this, well, give it time, all will be forgiven, or something like, you know, it'll cease. But time also can harden. And I think that's why this, God's concern about how we linger on wrath. Most of the time, at least when I held on to that, it breaks me. It only breaks me down, real hard in my heart. And I think that we just say that wrath gets in the way of forgiveness.
Absolutely. All right. Last question. Should we only worry about physical manifestations of our anger, wrath, bitterness, and malice as we put on the new man? And then I reference Proverbs 27:19. Does anybody want to read that real quick? I don't think we've come across that in the lesson elsewhere. Proverbs 27:19.
face, so the heart of man reflects the man.
Okay. Any comments?
He's looking for the pure in heart.
Okay.
Also Samuel, God looks at the heart, not the outward appearance.
Your behavior is what is coming out from your heart. Your behavior displays what is in your heart.
Absolutely. And so if we can't control the anger, if we can't keep it from festering and evolving into sin, I mean, what does that say about what's inside?
Us.
Okay.
Got it from Gary.
Go ahead.
Make time with anger and forgiveness, and forgiveness is for you and not the other person.
I think it can be for both. Forgiveness can be for both people, you and for the other person. Any final comments? All right. Well, I do. Jim, last one.
One thing about God's anger was that he always considered it. When he was angry, I'm convinced he considered, what might happen if I do this? If I completely destroy the earth with the flood and don't let 8 people survive, what happened? If I completely destroy Israel because of the flood, then, like Moses told us, then they're going to say, look at you. So, he considered his anger.
Sure.
I think there's a message there for us. When we are angry, think it through. But we're going to get angry. This thing was the guy who used the baseball bat, burnt the lady on the haystack and all that. And, she's I'm angry about
that. Sure. All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for your comments tonight. I appreciate it. Have a good night.